It is a political season, of course. And when I'm thinking about what we're going to be talking about today, I thought about something that occurred during a campaign here in Massachusetts 14 years ago. When Deval Patrick was campaigning to be the governor, he was accused of being all talk. And he responded with these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Just words? We all have nothing to fear but fear itself. Just words? Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Just words? I have a dream. Just words?" Now, regardless of how you feel about Patrick as a candidate, as a governor, he had a point, and it's one that, in fact, Barack Obama used. He basically borrowed that tactic 2 years later when he was running for president, because some people made the accusation against Obama that he was, as Texans might say, all hat and no cattle. And their point was that words aren't empty. They're not meaningless. Words are powerful. Words can bless. Words can comfort. Promises are issued through words. Words can unite people in marriage. Words can teach. Words can change hearts and minds. Now, it's been said that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. And that's a nice little saying that we often teach children when they're getting called names, when they're getting bullied, to let them know that they shouldn't pay too much attention to those words. But the fact is that words can harm, and they do harm. Words can deceive. Words can tear down. Words have been used by bullies in person and now on the internet to the point where those who are bullied even kill themselves. This has happened many times. Words can declare wars. Words can devastate. And it's clear that words are powerful, and they can be used for either good or for evil. Often, though, we contrast words with deeds as if speaking were not some kind of action, as if writing were not some kind of deed. But the fact is, to speak is to act, or to type is to act. Speaking or writing is one particular form of acting, and it's one that we do almost more than anything else. I think perhaps the only thing that we do more than create words or listen to words and read words is breathe. Since we all deal with words so frequently, we should think about how we can use words wisely. And that's what we're doing this morning as we continue to study the book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom found in the Old Testament of the Bible. Now, other than general sayings about wisdom and the opposite of wisdom, which is folly or foolishness, the Proverbs contain more statements about words than any other topic. Now, clearly, this is something that is important in the Bible. It's important to God. And I've put a lot of the verses in the book of Proverbs that deal with words in the worship guide this morning. There are a lot of them. I'm not going to read them all, so if you're getting worried you're singing all of those, I'm not going to read them all this morning. But I gave them to you so that you can have them and use them as a reference. Perhaps you can read through all of them and meditate on them later. It's certainly worth knowing them all. And in fact, I think I'm going to actually revisit some of the issue of words next week when we think about something else that the book of Proverbs talks about, which is the scoffer, the person who mocks, and how we're to respond to people like that. That's worth its own sermon. But this morning, the first point I want to make about words is that God is a God of words. And we are made in God's image after his likeness, which means many things. But in part, it means that we are to reflect who God is by resembling who God is. And we do resemble God in different ways. And one of those ways that human beings resemble God in ways that other animals don't is that we speak. We use words. God is a God who speaks. He uses words. He does powerful things with his words. He created the universe out of absolutely nothing by his word. He forms and shapes and arranges things by his word. He calls into existence things that were not by his word. He makes promises He gives commands. He warns all through his word. And he has given us the Bible, his written word, which is a book that tells us about who God is, what he's like, what he's done in history. It tells us about our true condition and how we can be reconciled to God. That's why it's important. That's why we look at the Bible so much as a church. Now, there are a couple of verses in the book of Proverbs that actually do refer to God's words. And if you look at Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, you see that. Those verses say, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." And God does do things with his word that we can't do. We can't create out of nothing. We can't just speak something and then it will come to pass later. There are people who claim that. It doesn't really work that way. We can be hopeful about the future, but we can't create things out of nothing. God does. But there are ways that we resemble God in his word, or that we can resemble God in his use of words. God's words are true. And if we want to be like God in our speech, we have to speak the truth. We're told here not to add to God's words or to take away from God's words, which is why, one, we want to look at all of the Bible. Can't do it all in 1 week or 1 year even, but we try to look at different parts of the Bible frequently and not ignore anything that is in the Bible. And the other thing is, we don't want to add to the Bible and say, "Well, God told me this." I think when people say that, often they mean, "I have the impression that God wants me to do this." But if someone says, "God told me this new thing," I think they're misguided. But we go to God's word. We want to pay attention to what he says about the wise person who lives according to God's design in life, and also the fool who acts as if God doesn't exist. And there are a lot of different verses that contrast the wise person with the fool. Apparently, even a fool can quote scripture, but the fool will misuse the Bible just as he misuses any wise saying. So look at Proverbs 26, verse 9. It says this: "Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools." Fools can misuse God's words to harm themselves and harm others, but we shouldn't want to do that. And we shouldn't misuse any words, because words can be a matter of life and death. Now, on a very simple level, our words can get us into, or sometimes out of, trouble. And there are a few verses that deal with this. So one is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3, which says, "By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." And then there's Proverbs 18, verses 6 through 8, which say, or verse 6 and 7, which say, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." I love that. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. You know, people get into fights because of their words. They say things that are insulting or offensive, sometimes things that aren't true, things that are just designed to stir other people up, and it comes back to them. Sometimes people will lie at work, and then they're found out, and they lose their jobs. Some people have lied in court and ruin other people's lives. Sometimes they're caught in perjury. And that is reflected in chapter 14, verse 25. "A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful." Someone who is witnessing to the truth, especially in a court, can save lives. But someone who is lying is deceitful. They're doing evil. They're doing harm. Now, the truth can lead to saving lives. The truth can bless. We can also curse people with our mouths. We can build up, we can tear down. We can teach, we can deceive, we can forgive, we can condemn. And that kind of gets to the heart of why words can be a life and death matter. And Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Now, obviously, we can use our words to lead people to death. You know, someone who declares war is doing that. Someone who is trying to get someone to incite violence can actually use their words to bring about death. But words are ultimately a matter of life and death, because the words that we believe about the ultimate reality, the purpose of life, can lead us to eternal life or eternal death. So in other words, the words that we believe about God matter. And the words that we believe about God, the words that we say about God, are a matter of life and death. If we trust God, we take him at his word, we are forgiven of our sins, we are healed, we are restored into a right relationship with God, adopted into his family. We have the promise of eternal life. But those who reject God, who deny his word, who twist his words, they already stand condemned. They will experience only condemnation. So sometimes words matter eternally. And since words matter, we should think very carefully about how to use them wisely. So first, here are some ways that we can wisely use our words. First, we must listen. We don't have to speak first or write first. The first thing that we need to do often is just to take in words. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." You can't answer a question that you don't hear. And you can't hear and think if you are simultaneously thinking about what you're going to say next, or just even opening your mouth to say those words. You can't really listen while you're speaking. Sometimes the best thing to do is first to be quiet, to listen, and to think carefully about the words that you're hearing or the words you're reading before you're preparing your own words. And this is reflected in several verses in Proverbs. Now, since our words can get us into trouble, it's often wise not to speak. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Many words can lead to sins and a whole bunch of foolishness. So it's often a good thing to bite one's tongue. That is particularly true if the only words that we have available are words that can hurt other people. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 12 and 13. They say this, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." Now, often far less is at stake when we close our mouths. Sometimes we need to remain quiet in order to ponder the right course of action. Or we need to have quiet minds just to gather information. So it's okay a lot of times just to be quiet. The times where we really need to speak up quickly are probably few and far between. Like I said, there's not so much at stake in listening. Sometimes there's no harm at all just taking a whole bunch of time to not speak. But we live in an age of hot takes, of people that are just reacting, they're venting, they're blowing off steam, they're responding to something before they're even fully aware of the truth. They react before they learn the truth, before they can dig through all the known facts. But shouting one's opinion is often foolishness. I think most opinions aren't very valuable because they're not informed by facts, by sound reasoning, and by careful reflection. Unfortunately, often the loudest voices in the room are the ones that are least worth listening to. Yet Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28 say this, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." In an age of hot takes, of talk radio nonsense, of digital noise on social media, the wise person restrains his or her words, keeps a cool spirit, and seeks understanding. In many cases, even those who really aren't smart or wise, just by being quiet, can appear to be wise. Because that is an act of wisdom, to be quiet when you don't know what to say, you don't know what to think. Sometimes it's okay to be that way. just be quiet. But wise people also tell the truth. Look at Proverbs 12, verses 17 through 19. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Telling the truth should be such an obvious thing to do, such an obviously wise thing to do that we shouldn't need to talk about it. But because there are so many lies in the world, we need to emphasize truth telling. So if you speak, make sure that you are telling the truth. Otherwise, it's wise to be quiet. And of course, if you do know the truth, and if you have something wise to say, something that's valuable to say, you should speak when the time is right. And the Proverbs do speak of the importance of sharing knowledge or information or wisdom. That too is a wise thing. We also get the impression, though, that the sharing of wisdom is really rare, and therefore it's something to be valued. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Again, the wise people are the ones who are saying something worthwhile. Fools don't do that. But then look at Proverbs 20, verse 15. There is gold and abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So apparently people who speak not just truth, but also speak wisdom, people who have insight, are very rare, and their words are rarer than gold and costly stones. If you are someone who doesn't always speak, who doesn't just give an opinion about every single thing, but you take time to listen, time to investigate, time to think, time to mull it over, you probably will come to be known as a wise person, and you may even find people coming to you for advice because you're wise. But if you just shout out your opinion all the time or spout out your opinion, you're kind of devaluing the currency of your words. Wise people also speak graciously. They speak in order to build other people up. Proverbs 22, verse 11 says, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend." So the one who has a good heart, the one who speaks words that are filled with grace, words that are like gifts, they'll have royal friends. I don't think this verse means that that political rulers always value truth tellers and people who have good hearts. When we look out in the world, we see a lot of political rulers or leaders who seem to really love lies and deal with lies and want to be surrounded by yes men or yes women. But I think this verse deals with an ideal king. A good leader wants people who have good hearts, who have good intentions, who tell the truth. They want to be surrounded by those kind of people. And any king worth knowing and having as a friend is a king who speaks the truth and who wants to hear the truth. Now, finally, there's one more way to speak wisely. There are times when we have to speak out. We have to speak up. We have to call out evil when we see it. We have to speak on behalf of those who are oppressed. There are times where we can't wait. We have to call out evil, sins, things that are wrong. And that is addressed in the Proverbs as well. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 say, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." When Christianity is strong, when Christians are living well, and we have seen this throughout history, there are many times where Christians have stood up for the poor, the oppressed, for those who are slaves, those who are made into sex slaves. Sex trafficking is a huge thing still. When Christians speak up on behalf of the unborn, Christians are doing well. And yet so often we fail to speak up, to call out the evils that exist, and to intercede for those who can't help themselves. Well, those are wise ways of speaking. And there are some more. I will take a look at least one other way of wisely speaking next week. But we do want to look at the ways of speaking foolishly, because there are many verses in Proverbs about that, and these are the things that we ought to avoid. Let's begin by looking at a longer passage in Proverbs 26, verses 17 through 26, which this one passage covers a lot of bases. It says this: "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I'm only joking.' For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly." That covers a lot of ground. It's foolish to get into arguments that don't involve you. It's foolish to deceive people. I think it has some in view, like a very outrageous practical joke. Like, yeah, I lit my neighbor's car on fire. Hey, I was only kidding. Isn't that funny? No. It's foolish to stir up strife, to create division, to gossip. That's what the whisper is, someone who is gossiping. For us, gossip is like a morsel that we take in, a delicious bit of food that we enjoy. It is foolish to hate, to deceive. Now let's think about some of these issues one by one. It is foolish to tear down other people with our words, to slander them, to say things that possibly are true or perhaps are a bit of the truth, but to do so in a way that is not intended to bring about any good end, but just to cut other people down. Proverbs 10, verse 18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." In that verse, we see that we can deceive others by hiding the truth, by hiding what we really believe or how we really feel, by being hypocrites, basically, putting on this false face. And we're also told that our slanderous words are foolish because they can do great harm. Another way to be foolish with words is simply to speak quickly without thinking, to speak rashly. Proverbs 29 verse 20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." You know, there's a saying for those who deal with woodwork. I suppose it's true for those who deal with fabric as well, people who make clothing and stuff like that. Measure twice, cut once. The idea is if you don't measure carefully and you cut, you can ruin whatever material you're working with, whether it's wood or fabric. Once you cut, you can't take that back. We should adopt a similar phrase when we speak of, or when we think of speaking. Think twice, speak once. Or perhaps think a dozen times and speak only when it's really necessary or when it's helpful. And the point is, we should all learn to think a lot more carefully before we speak. You can't unring a bell. You can't push the toothpaste back into the tube when it's out. And you really can't take back your words once they're uttered or once they're typed. Now, another way to be foolish with our words is to speak in a divisive way, one that is intended to stir up strife. Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28 say, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." The idea of a whisperer is someone who's gossiping. And we'll get to that in a moment, but the key thing to understand is that our motivation behind why we speak really matters. You know, one of the things that we should say before we open up our mouths, or before we're reacting to something on social media, we're sending someone an email, we should think this: why do I want to speak, or why do I want to write? What am I trying to do with these words? What will happen if I speak or write in this way? You should be careful. A foolish person not only cuts others down with their words and just speaks without thinking, they don't speak the truth. Instead, they deal with lies. They deal in lies. In Proverbs 12, verses 22 and 23, we read this: lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. God hates lies, and that is because God is a God of truth. He always speaks the truth. The truth is good. Lies are harmful. And in fact, lies are of the devil, of Satan. Jesus says that he is a liar and the father of all lies. God's people are called to follow the God who is truth, not the one who deceives. God's people are called to be faithful witnesses. And Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. We're not only called not to lie, we're called not to listen to people who lie. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. We don't want to do that. We don't want to give lies an audience. But here's another thing that's really important. Not only are we not supposed to not lie, I think I just used three nots there. We are not supposed to lie, but we are also not supposed to share things that are not true. And we can distinguish between those two ideas of lying and speaking things that aren't true. Now, all lying is speaking things that aren't true, but not all times when we speak something that's false are we lying. Lying is speaking something false or writing something false that we know to be false and doing so with the intent of deceiving someone else. So lying is far more evil, it's far more wicked than just being wrong. But God cares about the fact that we share truth, that we speak only truth. And we can be just as wrong when we repeat something that we heard, or something that we read, that isn't true. We have to be far more discerning in an age where we are surrounded by messages. We are constantly hearing all kinds of truth claims and proclamations of news, whether that's through television, on the radio, whether you're reading that in a magazine or newspaper, you're reading something online, you're seeing some meme that's shared on social media. But so often, we just thoughtlessly repeat things, not carefully considering whether that's true or not. So we'll share the meme. We'll just say, well, I heard this on the talk radio the other day with some wacky conspiracy that we just heard. Or we're watching something on the news, but we're only given a bit of what's true. We need to be far more careful about all of this. And I'd say this, I wouldn't get your news from TV. I would not get your news from talk radio. I'm not saying that TV is always wrong, or that everything you hear on TV is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't care if it's Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. They're far more manipulative in their delivery of what is supposedly news than other sources. TV is, you can easily be manipulated by hearing only a part of the truth. And you have to remember, they're not out to really inform. They're out to make money. This is the news entertainment industry. Okay? And they're there to really agitate people, get people worked up so that they'll continue to watch and continue to be exposed to the commercials. And it's not a good way of getting your news. It is far better to get news from print media. And if you're watching right now, that means you have internet access and you can access newspapers. You can access a kind of a boring site like Reuters, Reuters.com. Even BBC has better coverage of American politics, I think. And there's not going to be one source of news that's completely objective. That's because every human being has a bias. And there's no one source of news that will cover everything that's true, because there's just too much out there in the world. But we want to avoid the kinds of people that are just trying to stir us up and make us agitated and feel a certain way. We want to calmly be able to sift through bits of evidence. And when you're at least going to print media, you can find out what their sources are, or if they even have sources, or at least you get to see their claims in print and think about them a little more carefully. So I would avoid, just turn off the TV, turn off the idiot box, really. Be wise. Now, getting back to gossip. I said earlier that in the book of Proverbs, the whisperer is someone who gossips. Gossip is just another way of being foolish with our words. But we tend to love gossip. We devour it like candy. Proverbs 18 verse 8 says, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." What is gossip? Here's one definition. Idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. Gossip can involve sharing secrets. It usually involves saying things that we really don't know to be true. They may be true. They may be partially true. They're often just one angle on the truth if they have truth in view. But gossip is not intended to build people up or to bring about some kind of good end. It's not intended to be constructive. Gossip is usually intended to divide, to hurt, to make us feel better because we're not that other person, whoever that other person may be. Now, when we hear other people trying to gossip, we need to just stop that immediately. When we hear other people complain, they say, well, you know, so-and-so did this. You know, we should drive them back to that person by saying, well, what did they say about it when you told them that you were offended? Or when you tried to correct them, what did they say? Or maybe just better to say, I'm not going to listen to your gossip. I'm not going to listen to this. I don't know this to be true. I don't think it's helpful. Just don't. This doesn't involve me. It's good to have some phrases like that. And there are many others you can think of. You know, why are you telling me this? What good are you trying to do with these words right now? It's good to have those phrases available because we are going to be confronted by people who try to get us going. And I'm sure that each one of us has gotten sucked into gossip at one time or another, probably many, many times. But it's destructive. It can destroy lives. It can tear apart churches. And it's so insidious because it just creeps in unnoticed a lot of times, the way that maybe some other sins don't. Instead of gossiping, we should remember Proverbs 17, verse 9, which says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." If there is an offense that involves us, someone has done something to hurt us, we are told in Proverbs 25, verse 9, to argue your case with your neighbor yourself or himself. You yourself go to him himself or herself. Don't just speak behind the other person's back. Go directly to that person. Now, here are quickly a few other ways to be foolish with our words, things we want to avoid. One is boasting or bragging about yourself. Proverbs 27, verse 2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." We live in an age of self-promotion. Just people on social media are endlessly talking about themselves and, you know, humble bragging. You know, they're trying to sort of, in their own kind of way, say, oh, by the way, I just happen to have this achievement. Or they take pictures to show how awesome their life is. And it's not bad to share an achievement or to take a picture of what's going on in your life. But we just live in so much of an age of self-promotion that it's refreshing when someone's humble. And they don't share everything they do. They don't talk about all their achievements. Just do good things, and probably other people will notice. If you do something well, people will notice that, and they may sing your praises, but don't sing your own. People don't like that, generally. Another way of being foolish with our words is just to vent. I think there is a time and place to vent a little bit with friends, someone close to us, but we have to be careful that we're not gossiping, that we're not reaffirming negative thoughts, because the more that we vent, I mean, I found this true in my own life, the more that you vent, the more that you have negative thoughts, the more that you have negative feelings. It sort of reiterates, reaffirms the negativity in your life. We've got to be careful about that. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Now, if you feel the need to vent, why not first vent to God in prayer? We've been reading the Psalms in our worship services. And if you're familiar with the book of Psalms, there are 150 of them. They are prayers, they're songs to be sung, but a lot of them kind of come across as venting towards God. The psalmist is expressing grief, despair, anger, fear, sense of hopelessness, remorse. There are all kinds of emotions in the Psalms, but what they're doing is they're venting to God. The psalmists are. They're expressing directly to God, "I have this problem," or "I'm feeling this," "I'm thinking this." So often we're eager to vent to others, but if we vented to God, we would not only do less damage with our words, but we would be turning to the one who can help us in our situation. And we would learn to process all our emotions in a more godly way. And finally, a foolish person is one who continually speaks, one who is full of empty words, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says, The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. You can't receive instruction when you're talking. You can't think. And when we do speak, our words should really matter. We shouldn't just utter a whole bunch of words to fill the silence. Well, now that we've looked at both wise ways of using words and foolish ways of using words, I think we have to all admit that we, all of us, have often been fools with our words. We've said things thoughtlessly, carelessly. We've written things down that were not true, or things that at least weren't constructive, whether we were intending to deceive someone or not. And I am willing to bet that all of us have lied. Perhaps even we told some white lies, lies we think are somewhat innocent. We've deceived others. We've deceived ourselves. We've gossiped. We've been divisive. We've cut others down with our words. And that is bad news. It's bad because it's harmful to the world. But it's also bad because, as Jesus says in Matthew 12, verses 26 and 27, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned." God would be right to condemn us for all our foolish words, because God hates lies. He hates gossip. He hates foolishness. It's destructive. It makes a mess of his creation. But there's good news. Fools can be justified by their words. Jesus came to do what we do not. He always used his words perfectly. He always told the truth. Even when he delivered hard truths, he did this to correct and to build up, not simply to belittle or demean other people or to make himself look good or feel good. Jesus spoke words of blessing and healing to those who would listen. He spoke words of warning to those who weren't heeding what he said. And when he might have been tempted to utter rash words, to lash out in anger, on his way to the cross as he was being tortured, beaten, and eventually killed, he simply kept quiet. If you read the Gospels, you see that as he's, in a way, unjustly being brought to death because he never did anything wrong, he didn't deserve the death penalty, he did not lash out in anger at anyone. He was quiet. He didn't defend himself. As the famous prophecy of the Messiah in Isaiah 53 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus always spoke the truth because he says he is the truth and the way and the life, the only way to God the Father. Jesus cares about the truth because the truth about God, about our condition, about himself is the only way to be set free from sin. The only way to be reconciled to God is through Jesus. The only way to know God's gracious offer of salvation is to know the truth of the Bible. And Jesus spoke wisely so that fools could be set free, so that fools could be credited with his wisdom. And Jesus went to the cross to take the penalty that fools deserve, the wrath of God, condemnation. If you've spoken foolish, false words, Jesus says that you will stand in God someday. You will be judged. A small lie is enough to condemn you to hell. But the fact is, our lack of love for God, our ignoring him, our treasuring other things instead of treasuring God, our lack of love for our neighbor is more than enough to condemn us. But God is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. He rescues fools from condemnation. The only path to forgiveness, the only path to a right relationship with God is Jesus. He is the one who can cover up our offenses. He is the King who can be the friend of those who are pure in heart, those who are wise, faithful. If you don't know Jesus, I urge you to run to him, to learn about him, to put your life in his hands, to follow him. And I'd be glad to help you with all of that as far as I'm able. Doesn't matter what you've done, how big of a fool you've been in the past, you can be forgiven. Learn as much as you can about Jesus and follow him because that is wise. And if you do know Jesus, follow his example. Avoid foolish talk, lies, gossip, boasting, empty words. Be quick to listen. Take a long time to think. Be slow to speak. And when you do speak, speak true words, words that are constructive, because that too is wise. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we must confess that we have often used our mouths foolishly. We've used our hands to write things that are wrong, things that aren't helpful. We've used our fingers to type out messages that are just at best stupid and at worst full of lies. We've hurt others with our words. We've broken promises with our words. We've gossiped with our words. We've insulted and slandered with our words, Father. Would you forgive us for all of that? We realize that our only hope of forgiveness comes through Jesus and trusting him, trusting that he, the one who always spoke perfectly, did everything necessary to bring us back to you. He died for the sins of everyone who trusts in him, bearing the penalty that we deserve. Thank you for that, Father. We don't have adequate words to thank you, but we praise you and we just say thank you simply. Help us to be more like Jesus in using our words wisely, to speak only that which is true, only that which is helpful, only that which is constructive. Help us to use our words to speak words of praise, to share the gospel with people, to tell them the truth of the Bible, to show care to those who are in need, to speak on behalf of those who are oppressed. Yes, to speak hard truths and to call out evils at times, but to do so in a way that points to Jesus. We pray all this in his great name. Amen.